Coert.
Present.
Beckett.
Here.
Bensel.
Here.
Carter.
Present.
Jay.
Here.
Knott. Kurt.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
There is one other item. Somebody from the Regional Planning Commission wanted to talk to you guys about rural transportation study. And I think she'll be here at the end. It's just for information. There's no action, but we can put that under the business at the end.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion to ask this as a amendment.
So move.
Second.
Okay. All in favor of the agenda with the other item, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone from the approval minutes for November 7, 2008?
So move. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No public participation. We're going to the monthly report of the county and township motor fuel tax claim for November 2008, December 2008, and January 2009.
Move to place on file.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, so we'll get the county up from there.
Okay. First item is resolution loan contract for the replacement of the bridge on the highway guy, which is passed out. Cover sheet from one of our plan proposals that shows the location. The bridge is the pink dot on the left side down, County Road 9, just 5 miles west of Ludlow. It is a county highway project from County Bridge Funds. You'll see that the engineer's estimate is $484,000. Loan bid was start excavating at $427,249. That was the second sheet. So it was $100,000 below the total engineer's estimate. Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion?
Jeff, have you noticed any dropping of costs in bridge construction with the, may coincide with the just a general drop in construction project overall because of the economy?
In cost?
It's
below our engineer's estimate, but I think last year, for some reason, bridge cost was substantially higher. And so our engineer's estimate is based on the cost that we received last year. And obviously this one is considerably below my estimate. So they're nowhere near where they were prior to 2005, 2006. But I think we're coming back in line with what we would expect.
Okay.
Because we're over the top like they were.
Any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The next bridge is a Ludlow Township Road District Bridge. You'll see it on the little map I passed out there, just south of Ludlow, and that little road that borders I-57. This is a TBP project where the county picks up 50%, Township Bridge Program picks up 40%, Township picks up 10%. Engineer's estimate 157,510. Low bidder start 153,654.40. So real close to engineer's estimate. Excellent.
Move approval.
Second.
Discussion. favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right, item C, dump truck replacement. We had in the 2009 County Highway Funds heavy equipment replacement for the replacement of the of one of the county's dump trucks. We have 12 that we run. We're looking at replacing a 1994 model truck. Obviously, with the 2009 International, this is off of the state bid, so there's no competitive bidding process except for what the state went through, so we would not be bidding it. We had estimated that this truck would cost us about $130,000. The net cost through the state bid is actually $106,833, so it's substantially below what we had estimated the truck would cost. This is a single axle dump truck, International, with a stainless steel bed. Stainless steel because we've basically our trucks rust out from underneath us before they come apart otherwise. So we've gone to the stainless steel bed so that, obviously that's a big part of our truck is haul that salt during the wintertime. Those stainless steel beds will last a lifetime in the truck, and perhaps we might even be able to move them to another truck someday if they stay in good shape. So there's not a resolution that has to go to the county board according to the purchasing policy. It says it's due to state bid. I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't any heartburn with the county's economic situation and us going ahead and moving forward with our infrastructure and replacement of our equipment.
Let me ask a question, Jeff. How many dump trucks do we have?
12.
And this will replace one of those 12?
Yes.
Is it absolute, at this moment in time, is it absolutely necessary to have 12? Could 11 suffice?
Well, the problem with that is when we got our snow out, we've got to have backup trucks. If the truck does go down, we've got to have a backup. So right now, we've got a couple of utility trucks that are older than this. So we still use one that's got a wing on it. So we got to always have a backup truck, a couple of them. So if one goes down, we can still maintain that snow.
Like, what, a couple of days ago, we popped a hole in the oil pan.
Yeah, and we lost the rim off one of them, cracked the rim. So we had two trucks go down right then. And so we had one truck in reserve, which we was able to put back out and route. We had one route and wasn't getting any attention, so the guys had to kind of take care of that. Two guys take care of one route.
So this truck is absolutely necessary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. How many snow plows? You don't need one?
We've got 12 trucks, and I got 9 snow plows.
Okay. I mean, do all 12 trucks have plows?
All of them have snow plows.
And then this new one would also, too.
Yes.
Yeah, this is fully loaded snow plow equipment, okay. Spreader, pre-wetting system, everything. What we're going to do is we're going to sell the other truck, but it's not worth it to trade it in on the state bid. So we will get some value back out of our old truck, either by selling the dollar ship or on eBay, or whatever system we use to sell that once we get the new truck in.
Where's the money coming from? this money's coming from?
County Highway Fund.
Okay.
Which is, from what I'm told, WC, our fund is totally funded by property taxes, I'm not mistaken. We have roughly $200,000 in the county that we budgeted this year for the brush replacement. So this is roughly half of that $200,000. The truck that we're replacing is sitting out in the shop. If you guys wanted to take a look at it, it's seen by the days. It's a 1994. International. Well, we haven't replaced the truck since 2005 because of the building of this building. Basically, we kind of put that on hold. Our typical replacement schedule for trucks is 15 years. after you have it for 15 years, the elements just get to where, you know, the snow and salt and the wiring and the truck beds are just basically gone. We totally had to weld up truck beds. You can see through them from the rust and the corrosion. So now that we haven't bought one since 05, if we don't start back on the cycle, we're going to end up with a year where we're going to have to buy two, which obviously blows the budget way out. That's almost impossible to buy a budget. Or we end up with older trucks in the fleet, which causes us more trouble.
Trucks made in the USA, right?
Yes, international.
I move approval of the drum dump truck replacement.
Okay,
second.
I have a quick question for you. It's the bed that really is what the problem is, right?
It's
the bed. Is there any way to replace just the bed on that truck?
The cab and chassis. Yeah.
It's the cab and the truck?
Not just the bed, yeah.
Okay, so it's the whole truck's gone pieces. Yeah. Okay. I thought maybe we could just replace the bed.
There are a couple of trucks where we're looking at doing that right now because the bed is totally gone.
So better to replace the bed and then not have to replace the whole truck. What is a bed cost compared to a truck, do you know?
The bed is $55,000 for the body.
Jesus.
So it's about half of the truck.
Yeah.
And like Jeff said, that's what I'm trying to do is things to own these trucks. So maybe down the road when these trucks get their 15 minutes and keep the bed, I just buy a cab and chassis and just replace the bed.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd just like to mention that the troops are getting their job done if you live out in the country.
Oh, yeah,
we
no,
appreciate the efforts of the
absolutely. No, they're doing a great job out in the county. My son lives in Tuscola, and getting down there, it's just excellent.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Economic stimulus.
Stimulus plan.
Economic stimulus. Okay. Denny and Pius and Cameron from RPC and I went to a meeting last Friday over in Springfield just talking about the economic stimulus plan that is coming out of Washington, D.C. And I'll pass this letter around that I received from the Commissioner of Transportation, North Keys, just received this week, that talks about what they're expecting in Illinois as a possible infusion of funding for projects in the state of Illinois. There was a meeting held with Senator Michael Bond over in Springfield. As I said, there were a number of communities there, including us, that presented to the group their list of projects that would be ready and available for the economic stimulus money. Here's a big spreadsheet of the county's transportation projects as we sit right now. Basically, the out of the economic stimulus package, if it represents at all what the House and Senate is proposing lately, the state of Illinois could be up to $1 billion in highway funding. For both local and state projects.
And we can have most of that. Right?
Well, the way the state is viewing this is that half of the money will have to be spent within 120 days of it being sent to the states. The state believes that they are ready with their projects to be able to spend that money at the state level. And the other half will have to be spent apparently by June of 2010. So what they'll do is they'll, assuming that much money comes in, they'll run it through the same formula that all the other monies in the state run through and figure out who gets how much. I'm sure there'll be some jockeying for position on these projects, but if locals are ready to accept some of the money within that 120 days of the possibility that we could see some money in the first round, but it sounds like the state was looking at giving the locals their money kind of in the second round of projects, which would have been the June 2010. You'll see all the projects that we have listed there on our transportation project readiness list could be ready by 2010 to receive that money. We've got some $14 million worth of projects between roads and bridges that could be ready in order to receive the economic stimulus money. So it's kind of a wait and see what really happens. Is it going to be 90 days, 120 days, or is it going to be $500 million? You know, they're saying that if states don't use the money in a timely process, it'll get turned back. Illinois Secretary of Transportation is saying that they're positioning themselves so that if there's any money that's turned back that can be reauthorized to other states, that they'll be ready to accept that money as well. So I think they're in a very good position to accept the money. And there were hundreds of millions of dollars of local projects as well that, you know, that the money could go towards. So we're ready. We're actually going out and doing cores on a couple of roads. We've already done one. We're going to do another one on Monday, trying to get some plans put together for that County Road 24 and County Road 20 rehabilitation project. The Monticello Road is a project that we're actually to the point where we're going to have a public meeting and start on the right-of-way acquisition on that project. The plans and specifications are ready for the most part. The Penfield County Road Bridge, those plans are very close to being ready. St. Mary's Bridge is a bridge that we actually have received major bridge programming money in 2013 for that project, but we could push it ahead if we got money for that. The Lincoln Avenue Bridge is a project that we've been working on for some time with Summer Township as well as the City of Urbana to get that project ready to go. And the other ones are rehab and resurfacing projects that will do all the plans and work on within our own office. So if the money comes, we'll be ready to spend our share here.
And what about Curtis Road? Because it was on the
Curtis Road, from what indication I thought we received, and it was, they were a little hesitant, but that question was asked by Pius at the meeting about Curtis Road. Since it's already been let, they don't believe that the money could be used for Curtis Road.
Current phase. Future phases. Those would be actually, I think those would be on the Champaign or Urbana list. These are Holy County projects.
Could it be used for any of these projects that were just approved to start these projects here?
No.
Can't.
No. From what they said, once the contract has been bid, awarded, that kind of thing.
That's it.
That's it. Speaking of Curtis Road, just we can melt the two DNC together. That was bid back in January. Stark Excavating, again, was the low bidder. The programmed amount for that project was $12.1 million, and the bid came in at $10,985,000. So it was below the engineer's estimate. There's $5.6 million in high priority project money that Jim Johnson got for that project some 3 or 4 years ago. So of the $11 million, $5.6 million will be federal aid, and then the rest of the money is split between the locals, so basically a 50% Peggy on the local share of that project. So our local share will be, you know, $500,000 less because of the bid prices that came in lower than the estimated cost. So that project is due to start in March. I think March 19th to 16th is the start date. Joint project, obviously, between the City of Champaign, Champaign County, Village of Savoy. We'll have an engineer and a technician out on the job. The city will be the lead agency. They'll have the lead engineer out there and be doing all the paperwork and the paying to the contractor and all that stuff through the state. And that's most likely a 2-year project, staged out for 2 years. So it wouldn't be done until the summer of 2011. take us all the way to basically just beyond Prospect where the three lanes of concrete pick up there in Savoy. So it would be five lanes of concrete all the way to that point, and then it would be, you know, come back down into its current section.
Okay, where?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is there any acceleration of planning to sort of move things in range as perhaps some of our stuff is done ahead of time, as we originally contemplated, or do I make myself clear?
These projects that are on this list are actually already moved up considerably.
They're already
accelerated.
I've seen many to us. Are you accelerating
County
projects that are further down the list than this one? Do you have more projects now?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the Monticello Road project is due to be bid in the summer of 2010. And it's got $1.5 million, roughly, of federal money. So that leaves $3.5 million of local money in that project. So if we can get 100% stimulus money to fund that project, that leaves $3.5 million that the county didn't have to pay.
Move down the priority list.
Exactly.
And you've got those things lined up to do.
Yeah, based on our payment management system, we've got a priority list of all the projects.
Okay.
And these are just like the ones that you see down here for County Roads 20 and 24, those would not typically come up on our list until 2012, somewhere along that. But if we can move them up in 09 or
2010. Those are for the ethanol plant, right?
No. These are roads that are 15 years old. The asphalt is showing, but they're nowhere near the ethanol plant.
Okay.
No, they're one of them's the Mayview Road. Coming off of Route 150, if you go through Mayview and then you go north,
okay,
and then it hooks up with the road that does go to Royal, but both of those roadways are seeing deterioration. The other road, County Road 8, is up near, what's that little town?
Fuslin.
Yeah, I know that road.
Yeah.
Miserable road.
Yeah, exactly.
The main road.
I just wanted to ask Jeff, the one that's noted as St. Mary's Bridge, where's that at?
That's written
down to St.
Mary's. Yeah.
On the Curtis Road lighting that we just had and our portion of the funding on that, how does that fall into our $1 million cap? Are we staying on track with what we had set up for that?
Yeah.
So are we paying this bill on time, or are we going to be lagging behind and paying our portion of this?
We're going to be like a year behind. We got in the last construction funding agreement with the city of Champaign, we talked about stretching that money out until like a year past the project. Now that the money's a little bit less, you know, there was kind of a plan that we're going to pay this much this year, this much next year. So it may not lag as far as it was going to be with the lower bids.
Great.
Hey, Lawrence, and then Steve.
Yeah, I do that. Do you have a map or anything to show you the boundary of these townships?
I've got a big glossy county map that's available to anybody, yeah. Absolutely.
No, something that you can pass out.
Yes, so definitely.
So I can put it on the wall or something.
Yeah, you can put them in the glove compartment and we've got nice.
Okay, I like maps. That.
You want to get some of those? You bring them in there?
Okay, Steve, you want to make the most?
To follow up on Ron's question at facilities the other night when we were talking about economic recovery, stimulus, whatever you call it, the question was asked, what the ultimate impact would be on the planning that you have done into the future, taking into account the Fridge Road Agreement and our commitments for other projects. Would this influx of capital cause you to readjust that planning document that we have all, you know, worked from, if in fact any of these projects were awarded with stimulus money?
Yeah, because that document was based on roughly $2 million a year in motor fuel tax money. And let's say we get $5 million, well, that's 2.5 years of that money that can be put into the system immediately. So it moves everything, you know, back in time, 2.5 years.
So from your perspective, what's the best approach here? Do you wait till the smoke is all cleared and we see what happens with the stimulus money, and then do a sort of a one-time readjustment to tell us where we are, and is that the way you would approach that?
Yeah, and you know, you talked about a few months ago, maybe even longer than that ago, about doing a long-term contract with Applied Research Associates and to do this over a long period of time. I've actually got that on my computer. Now they've sent that to me to do a long-term pavement management and pavement analysis. So that would be my approach, is once we get this money and infuse it into the system, then go out and, you know, run the system again and see how that melts into our pavement management system.
Thank you.
What scares me about this economic stimulus thing is that we only got so many contractors and they only have so much equipment.
I was just going to say, could we handle all of
that? I don't know. You know, if it all comes at one time, prices are going to go up. So is that, I guess that's good for the contractors, but we don't get as much work done as you would think you would based on the amount of money we're going to get.
As was discussed at the meeting in Springfield, the engineering is a problem too, because, you know, there may not be enough engineers to do design, right. Okay. To do the design phase in some of these. In our case, I think we're in good shape. Other places may not have that, may have that problem though. So I think we're okay.
Yeah. Any way to get, you know, in call clinic when they short doctors, they go to locum tenens. They rent them. Is there any way to rent engineers?
Well, we use consultants, and that's a similar process. And all these projects that are on our list, we already have consultants picked to do those projects, and they're already in the phase of being designed. The road projects we do in-house, and we can do those with our own people as long as we ever get our software into the computer. But yeah, we've got new AutoCAD software, so we're going to be more efficient as far as we know the new projects. So the road projects we can handle. We just don't have a structural engineer on staff, because that's a different license that you have to have in order to design bridges. So we can't do those. We have to hire a consultant.
We can't hire them. We can't hire them to augment our people.
Internally come in? No. I don't think they want to do it from their own place and charge you 150% overhead.
I see.
Okay. Ken, do we need a motion for this?
I don't think so. That's all awarded by the state. It was just an informational item. So we pass it out. I know I got a lot of paper today, but we haven't been here for a few weeks, so passing out a lot of stuff. next item is that legislative meeting. We had a legislative meeting here in this room, maybe 6-8 months ago. And Jacob Rose was here, and a lot of contractors and township highway officials talking about the need for infrastructure funding in the state of Illinois. And, you know, with the economic stimulus and all that, that's all fine and dandy. It's nice to have that infusion of money to get people back to work. But over the long haul, obviously, one time shot in the arm doesn't really keep the roads maintained over the next 15 to 20 years. The Illinois Association of County Engineers has put together this little flyer that you see here. Just talks about the capital bill that the state is contemplating and what has happened with the motor fuel tax buying power over the last 8 years from 2000 to 2008. The buying power, you'll see down in that little wheel on the right-hand side with the money. In 2000, the buying power of the motor fuel tax fund was around $200 million. Now, in 2008, with the escalation in inflation and construction costs, the same money buys you about $116 million worth of construction projects. And there's a spreadsheet that's attached to this that we sent out to all the counties to get a comparison of 2000, 2007, and 2008 unit prices, and this is just basically for a few items that are representative of typical inflation within the construction industry. But as you'll see there on the second sheet of the county cost increase, average increase from 00 to 08 is 191% on the county side, and on the township side is very similar, 189%. So obviously our costs are going up greatly. Our income is not meeting those needs, and I had a breakfast meeting with some of the township guys in our local Township Highway Association, and they would like to have another legislative meeting here to try to get the legislators here to talk about, you know, what's going on with a capital program or long-term investment in the state, county, and township infrastructure. They kind of feel like they're being left out because in reality the stimulus package, there's nothing in there for townships, and you know that's a big portion, except for if you're going to do some local township bridge projects, there's no specific money set aside for upgrading or maintenance of township roads. So the whole thought process is, you know, we've got a motor fuel tax distribution formula. If they do a capital program, they need to make sure that, as they say, all boats rise to the same level, so that the money just doesn't go to the state or to the counties or to the municipalities or to the townships, that everybody gets their fair share of whatever monies are put into the infrastructure in the state of Illinois. So just kind of letting you guys know that we're going to try to put together a meeting like that here in the next month or so, I think.
There's a news article in the Tribune about there's somebody introducing a bill, I'm not sure if it's House or Senate, to increase fuel taxes by 8 cents.
Yeah, and there's gotta be some money on one side to pay for the capital bill on the other. So that's always been running with how we're gonna pay for it. And the motor fuel tax hasn't gone up and 15, 20 years. Obviously, we need to. Similar. So, if meetings such as that occurs, I would send out an email to this committee, whoever would like to attend. That'd be great. Last thing underneath mine is the rural traffic sign upgrade program. This is something that we started back in November. There's a highway safety project that the state has awarded to Champaign County. And I guess it's a little bit of a sad note. The reason we're getting this is because there's so many fatalities on Champaign County roadways. And they rank the counties in the state each year, and we came to the top of the list for replacement of our deficient signs within Champaign County. And it's not only on the county roads, but it's on the township roads and all the municipalities under 5,000. So we have been feverishly out counting all of our signs in the county. We put together an estimate, sent it into the state. You know, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars here, and it's a 100% grant program to replace these signs. So we have purchased a sign inventory management program, and we're taking a laptop out of the country with a GPS and getting all the coordinates for all the signs and inventorying them, not only on the county system, but on the township system. We're leaving the municipalities to do their own sign inventories, basically because we don't have any real relationship with the municipality like we do with the township. So the township money all comes through the county highway department. We have a close relationship with the township highway commissioners. So as of about April 1st, we're to have our entire sign inventory done for the county. In the townships, which is some 1,600 miles of roadway that we're trying to inventory by that time. get it to the state. They will bid the project, actually will bid it. We have to front all the money for the signs initially, and then it's a reimbursement type of deal.
From where?
Put the signs up. What's that?
Who reimburses us?
It's federal highway money through the state of Illinois, through Champaign County. So,
are these signs you'll make in our sign shop, or are you going to order these?
They'll be ordered through a sign company and shipped directly to the different, you know, entities. And the townships are going to have to put theirs up, we'll put ours up, municipalities will put theirs up. But it's amazing once you start turning signs on these things.
Are these all highway related? Does it include the road markers?
No, it's only regulatory warning signs. So basically, your stop signs, all your yellow signs out there on the roadway, anything that has to do with regulating speed limits, those kind of signs. It's not the road markers at all. Or the 911 signs. There is another sign, and there is another sign grant program through 3M that I'm going to be applying for, where we can get all of the signs upgraded to the new high intensity sheeting. That's not 100% program, though. That's just a certain amount of money. So I got to see how much money we're going to get out of that. Once we, this was capped at $25,000 per entity. Obviously, the county, you know, we're probably more in the $100,000 range if we replace all of our deficient signs. But the townships, none of them reached that $25,000 cap, but we can't use any of their money to put up our signs. So anything over the $25,000 on the county system, I'm going to look at applying for that 3M grant program to the counties for upgrading those signs. We'll see what kind of money we can get for that. All right. And that's all I had. You're under other business at the end, so, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, going to other business. Hey, Alan, you
want to
explain this?
Yeah, thank you. The News Gazette on December 5th ran an article concerning Stark Excavating called Bloomington Company Faces Possible OSHA Fine, and it caught my attention and my concern, not because of this one violation, but because at the end of the article it stated that the company had 19 different occasions dating back to 1982 of safety violations. And my concern was, of course, for the workers that work in Champaign County, because Stark does a lot of work for us. And I talked with Jeff, concerned my concerns, and he recommended that I talk, because this is one side of the story, and I know there are always two sides to every story. He recommended I call the safety officer at Stark Construction, and I did so yesterday. And I had a long conversation, a very informative and positive, with Mr. Wayne Clayton, who is their safety officer. And he, after our conversation, forwarded me this email. I felt that my concerns were alleviated because most of the violations took place a long time ago. And in the last 5 years, they've received a number of awards for their safety procedures. And so it alleviated my concern. And I thank Jeff for getting me onto this gentleman. And I handed out a copy of their response to my concerns, and I feel very comfortable at this point with Stark working for us. They're working very hard on their safety procedures.
Al shared this with me. I appreciate the way it was handled on the agenda, and I just think it's always difficult to pick up anecdotal information about incidents involving companies that are involved in construction. As they say in the construction business, Lloyd will remember this, stuff happens. Stuff does happen on jobs. Fortunately, knock on wood, we're building a courthouse tower, and I was there the day that the tower was taken up there and placed, and I thought to myself, oh my God, those people standing up there on top with that thing coming down, you know, hoping that it doesn't swing and knock somebody off. But in sort of a parallel universe, I was contacted by the News Gazette this week because a company that we are in arbitration with was awarded a major contract with the city of Champaign this week to do renovations to their city building. And because we're in litigation with them, Mike Monson contacted me. He says, well, what do you think of this company?
Is that the nursing home? I'm sorry. Is that the
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so my reaction was, well, you know, stuff happens. They're a reputable company. And I thought to myself, for God's sake, if somebody had a complaint on a construction site and that meant that nobody in the future was going to award contracts to them, where would we get our money? Assuming that we win, hopefully, where would we get our money? And, you know, I think all these firms that we deal with are reputable. They obviously have to be bonded. They obviously have to have underlying liability insurance. These are all requirements that permit them to even bid for us. And if, in fact, there was a serious problem, they wouldn't be able to bid for us. And so I just think we need to be cautious, especially about what we read in the paper. But I applaud you for bringing this forward. I do think it's something we need to keep in mind. And, you know, for example, I go back to Farnsworth. I'll talk about somebody specifically because I'll tell you what happened. When we did the RFP for the nursing home for architects and engineers, I was actually in a dispute with Farnsworth. And so I couldn't participate in the rating. I couldn't say anything negative about them. I was actually in representing somebody in a claim. Now, we ultimately settled it. But I couldn't say anything about it because I had a conflict. Okay, and so we went ahead, and for whatever reason, they put on a good dog and pony show, as the architects and engineers are wont to do, as John knows, John Jay knows. And the end tally when we do our little RFPs was they were number one, and we negotiated a contract, and we moved on down the road. Frankly, I was not impressed with the way they stood behind their work on this other job that I was on. And, you know, I wish I could have said something. John and I probably would have agreed that this was not the architect that we should have had. And I mean, and as they say, the rest is history. So I agree that we all ought to have our antenna out. We ought to be looking at the people that we're doing business with. But by my count today, we saved $57,000 because Stark was the low bidder on two of our projects. And you just said that it was $1 million on Curtis Road. And so, you know, if we were too heavy to pass judgment, I think that would be difficult. Finally, last thing I'll say, and I realize I'm going on too long, is we have to remember regulatory agencies. If OSHA comes on your job site, that guy's job is to find violations. And I'm telling you, every construction project has a weekly safety meeting. And there's somebody there, there's a safety officer there who's supposed to be reviewing the workmanship and the procedures and the safety devices and all that sort of thing. That still doesn't stop OSHA from finding violations, because they do. It's sort of their job to find violations. And it, you know what? Even though OSHA's doing that, that still doesn't stop construction accidents from happening and people getting hurt, even killed, on construction sites. And so I think we all sort of do the best we can do. And I agree. And I applaud you for being vigilant on this issue.
I agree completely with what Steve said, and I'm glad, Al, that you took the time to contact Stark on this. I would hate to take somebody to task publicly for something Absolutely. That may or may not have been their fault. And I mean, Steve's right. Violations happen all the time. OSHA shows up for those reasons, and sometimes they're not the company's fault. So I've got a particular construction client who had a situation like that where the employee removed the safety railings off of the scaffolding themselves and within 30 minutes walked off the end of it. And you know, is that the company's fault? No. I mean, they put everything out there. They had all the safety precautions in place. This guy decided to do it himself, but it still resulted in a violation of promotion. So keep those things in mind, and let's certainly be cautious as we talk about our contractors publicly on these things.
Right.
And also, while we're at this kind of stuff, if a company is consistently and drastically low bidding, you really want to know how they're getting there. They may be cutting on quality or safety or something. Just be skeptical.
Steve?
That was a rule of thumb in my old job. The more they miss the estimate, the closer you watch them.
Okay, any more discussion? Move on to the Illinois House of Representatives House Resolution Number 130.
That wasn't my I think Pius put that in there. I'm not sure.
Pius. He just left.
He just left, so. But there's a resolution in here that declares a section of Illinois Route 150 from Turkey Farm Road to the village of Muhammad be designated as the Veterans Parkway in honor of the great sacrifices that our veterans have made for our nation. I think you want to make reference to that in the highway committee.
Well, we should accept and place on file the resolution. I move.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Do you have a hand up?
For regional planning.
Hi, I'm Nicole George. I'm from the Regional Planning Commission. I work for Rita and Hewat. And passing out a memo and a survey, we're working with the Institute for Rural Affairs at Western Illinois and the Rural Transit Assistance Center and the ICCT Clearinghouse. The Champaign County, under the safety lieu bill, there was money for transportation coordination and enhancement of public transportation in rural areas. The county, Champaign County was allocated almost $450,000 for 3 years to initiate this service, and we have to go through what is called the ICCT primer process. It's a five-phase process, and right now we're in phase two, which is collecting survey information. What I passed out is our community survey. We need to have 1,500 surveys from residents or employees in the rural area, so anything besides Champaign, Urbana, or Savoy. Currently, we've been working on getting surveys since the end of August, beginning of September, and we only have 428 surveys, so we still have a long way to go. So I wanted to come to you guys today to see if you could assist us in getting the people in your areas that you represent to complete these surveys. There's a link, and I also have sheets with the link on them that can be handed out for it to be filled out online. I also have extra hard copies, and we also have a hard copy available in Spanish for anyone that may need that. So right now we're just trying to gather information so that we can move forward on the process of getting rural transportation for the parts of county, Champaign County. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes. Have you made contact with the Road Commission in Champaign County?
I've tried to contact, I don't know if I've actually been in contact. Did you contact the?
I sent this to every single one of them.
Yeah. So I've tried contacting the local elected officials in the municipalities, and we've had some attendance at our meeting from a few of the rural township supervisors, but we haven't gotten a large turnout of individuals. We also distributed at the libraries and all of the rural communities, as well as other events that went on. Homer's, the Crazy Day Festival that they had in Homer, they did surveys there. So we've tried a lot of things, having agencies in those areas fill it out. So we're just trying different steps. So, yes.
I'm sorry if I missed this, if you said it, because I didn't see it on the face here. Okay. What is the deadline to have this done by?
The funding is supposed to be allocated for 2010, and it's supposed to be initiating a service by 2010. However, as long as we're in the process right now, IDOT was slow at getting this information to the counties, so the process is something that 23 counties in Illinois are going through right now. So the sooner we can get it, the better. For federal requirements, it should be summer of 2010 to get the full $450,000 for the initial start. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't believe C has to go to the whole board. If that's right.
A and B. Move to adjourn.
Okay, then we're going to carry it. Okay. Can we get a second?
Second. Yeah.